2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we're going to read five verses this morning in unison, reading from verse number 1 to the end of verse number 5. If you have a King James Bible, let's read together, shall we? 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. You ready? This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I'm going to talk to you this morning about being either selfish or selfless. Being selfish, or selfless. Dear God, thank you again for being a wonderful God. Thank you for the way you bless. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for church. Thank you for these dear folks that are here. I pray that you bless them. Lord, I hope and I pray this will be a help this morning. I pray, Lord, there will be no distractions and that we'll pay attention to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God this morning. Bless Sunday school, junior church, the nursery. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Please meet with us, the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In preparation for this sermon, as I've done now for the last maybe 10 to 15 years, well, at least 10 years, I've gone online to do my search for my concordance. I do have my physical concordance. I take that with me just in case I can't get online. But I do searches for whatever topic I'm studying, you know, either the Greek word for it, the Hebrew word for it, the English word for it. And today is no different. This sermon was no different in preparing for my sermon this morning. I went online looking for being selfish, you know, and Bible verses the online concordance I use. It's real simple because I can paste and copy on my word processor where I print these up on. It saves me a lot of time doing that. And I'll be quite honest with you. I put in selfish, and you're going to be shocked as I think I was. I think you're going to be shocked as I was what I came across. And I'm going to read to you the headings of all the lists of topics that came up. I'm sorry, I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to list the whole page is covered, just the first page, with some of the headings of selfishness. Four reasons why being selfish is good for you. Good, neutral, and bad selfishness. Nine reasons why you should be selfish. Here's why being selfish isn't always a bad thing. Seven reasons why selfishness is the key to happiness. Is being selfish always bad? This is from Good Therapy, and the other ones I didn't list, but why being selfish will make you happy and healthy. Seven reasons why being selfish is the best choice I ever made. When being selfish is a good thing, Huffington Post. Five great reasons to be selfish, Huffington Post. Why being selfish isn't always a bad thing. Seven reasons why being selfish is good for the world. How being selfish can make you a better person. Be selfish, be very selfish. This is for Harvard Business Review. Makes sense. Don't feel bad about being selfish. It can be good for you. The joy of me, the art of being selfish. Why you need to be more selfish at work. Being selfish, being happy. Shark Tank's Damon John, being selfish is a key to success. 10 reasons to be more selfish and how it helps you avoid anxiety. The importance of being selfish. The positive side of being selfish. Why being selfish is the most selfless investment. Being selfless by being selfish. Self-awareness is about being selfish. Why it's time to start being selfish. How to be selfish. Sometimes being selfish is the best option. Stop apologizing for being selfish. When being selfish works. Why being a selfish mom is good for you and your family. Being selfish in my dating was the best decision I could have made. Mamas, it's okay to be selfish with your baby. The importance of being selfish. Why being selfish with your time is important to your success. Don't feel guilty about being selfish. It'll make you a better person. Being selfish is the key to happiness. Why you need to be more selfish at work. Three surprising ways being selfish makes your relationships happier. The step-by-step guide to being a little more selfish. Being selfish is the best parenting advice I could give to a new, and it went on. I didn't click on it. How being selfish will limit your career success. The importance of being selfish. Be more selfish with your time. Why being selfish can benefit everyone. That's what it says. Why being selfish can benefit everyone. What want to get ahead at work? Be selfish. Top five reasons why being selfish is good for you. Four instances when being selfish is important. Being selfish, scared, and stupid could be a good thing. The art of being selfish. Just being selfish for my own sake. Being selfish makes the world better. Four reasons I support you being selfish. Why being selfish will make you more successful. Good news then. Why being selfish is important to your spiritual development. Why being selfish is sometimes a good thing. Being selfish, that's from Career Girl Daddy. Be selfish to get ahead. Why being selfish is the best way to get ahead in your career. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is what the people are reading today. If you put in selfishness or selfish, that's the 90 to 95% of all the websites that came up. And you wonder why people are selfish today. Well, you're going to read what God says about being selfish. Amen. Then you wonder why people hate God and hate the Word of God. Because it goes completely contrary to what they're being taught. Let's read this again. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. There you have it right there. You couldn't get it any more explicit than God tells you that in these last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Then you try preaching the Bible and teaching the Bible about people getting saved. They don't want to get saved because they love themselves. They don't want to do right. They don't want to live right because they love themselves. And the world is going completely opposite from the Word of God. You're going to have to choose which way you want to live, for the world or for God, for the Word of God or for the way of the world. The world's already taught you how to destroy yourself, amen? It's about time you turn to God and say, God, what can I do so that you can bless me? Amen. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, that means they're religious, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Well, there you have it. Jesus said the last shall be first and the first last. Doesn't sound like being selfish to me. My Bible says in Romans chapter number 15, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. James 4, 1, 2 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. James 3, the Bible says in verse 14 to 18, but ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. That's strong language for God to use, devilish. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Jesus said in Luke chapter number 6, verses 31 to 35, you ought to read, but in verse 35 he says, love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Doesn't sound like being selfish to me. Hebrews 13:6 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. God wants you to sacrifice. God wants you to give. And the word communicate in the English, 1611, listen to me good, meant to communicate through the mouth, through letter, and to give. If you look at the definition for communicate, it means to give of yourself. In Haggai chapter number, let me read this. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know why people are getting what they are getting? Because you've sowed what you're reaping right now. God's true. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And every time you do something that's selfish, it's going to come back to haunt you. 10 times over, 20 times over, 100 times over. I never ask God, why did this happen, God? I always say, for which sin was it that I did 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago or 50 years ago? You're sitting there thinking, why did this happen to me? That's selfish thinking. God said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. When you make decisions based on selfish motives, it's going to come back to haunt you. 1 Corinthians 13 is not about love. It's not the love chapter. It's about charity. Amen. That's love in action. Not just words. You can have love in your heart. But charity is not just words spoken about love. It's like the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter number 10 that did a selfless act, took time out of his schedule, saw somebody that was hurting, saw somebody that was wounded and half dead, and he went where most people walked past him. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. That doesn't sound like a selfish attitude to me. Philippians chapter number 2, the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Watch this. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Doesn't sound like selfish to me, ladies and gentlemen. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And by the way, that doesn't mean being a busybody, sticking your nose into other people's business. There's a lot of other Bible verses that says you ought to keep your nose in your own business. Amen. But this one says you ought to be more concerned about the welfare of others than yourself. Doesn't sound like selfish to me. The Bible teaches selfishness. See, the world says take care of number one, take care of yourself first. Now, about a month or so ago, I preached that series on joy, J-O-Y. You want to have joy in your heart? Jesus first, others second, and yourself dead last. The reason you don't have the joy and peace in your heart, because it's all about you. You put yourself first. Then you may put others second. Then you might squeeze Jesus in there if you have time. That's why we're messed up. That's why we're miserable. That's why we're cursed of God. We got the order messed up. He says, let every man, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. I don't think a servant can be selfish, do you? Can you imagine a private talking back to a sergeant or to the captain or the general? I don't think I want to take that hill today, Sarge. I don't think I'm going to go into that town today, General. Okay. Why? Because I just don't feel like, I don't think God's leading me to do that. That's a selfish attitude when you don't obey your authorities. So here's what you do. You and I live in a selfish society. Then you try to reason with people, try to get them saved, but they're full of themselves. They don't want to hear anything about God. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Says in verse number 8, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In verse 21, it says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Most people, I'm sorry to say this, are more caught up in their own life instead of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. 1 John 3:16 to 18, the Bible says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 18 says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth.
In 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 14, the Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Over and over in the Bible, God says not to be selfish. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You're too caught up with, why isn't anybody helping me? Why doesn't anybody care? Where are all my friends? Why don't you decide to be a friend? Why don't you decide to help somebody? And why don't you try to encourage somebody? And guess what? Whatsoever thou sowest, that shalt thou also reap. Amen. Jesus said, as I said, the last shall be first and the first last. The Bible says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, and shall not be heard." Proverbs 28:27 says, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." My Bible says in 1 Chronicles 23:3, "Because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I prepare for the holy house." You know why people have? Because God's blessed them. You know why people don't have? Because they robbed God. By the way, a tithe is 10%. As Jesse prayed right before the offering, a tithe is 10%. And God's promised to open the windows of heaven. But when you're more concerned about your sneakers and your vacation and your dope and your drugs and your heroin and your and everything else that you're more concerned about, you'll see whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, you're not concerned about somebody else's salvation. You're not concerned where people are going to die and go to hell. Hey, maybe not. Somebody's not going to be concerned about you in about 5 or 10 years. Huh? My Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth richly all things to enjoy, that they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." Acts 20:35, Paul says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." More people want to take today. We're a bunch of takers in our society. Welcome to socialist New York, man. Everybody wants to take and lie and steal, you know? But Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Everybody wants a handout, but nobody wants to work to give to a missionary who's overseas, far away in a foreign land, trying to get people saved. Americans, by and large, don't want to get saved, but people in Mexico and the Philippines and some other third world countries, they're begging to get saved if somebody gives them the gospel, man. I'd rather give my money to a missionary who's overseas in a dirt poor country somewhere than helping people who want to be on Facebook, GoFundMe page. Fund my habits and fund my addictions and fund this. And buy my Girl Scout. You buy Girl Scout cookies, God's cursing you. Girl Scouts support lesbians, abortion, and all kinds of perversion. And you're buying their Girl Scout cookies because you feel bad. And you're robbing from God while you're giving your money because you want people to like you at selfish reasons. Jesus said in Luke chapter number 9, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." It doesn't seem like to be selfish to me. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." That's a selfless life, ladies and gentlemen. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 15, the Bible says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." You better be thankful I didn't go to Alaska 33 years ago and live hunting bear and deer and elk and fishing for salmon. You better thank God Almighty that somebody didn't want to do what he didn't do what he wanted to do and came to Troy, New York. Amen. You know what? Some of you just want to do whatever you want to do based on selfish reasons. The only reason somebody would want to be in the hellhole of the armpit of Troy, New York is because they love God. The only reason you want to come to this church is because you care about the things of God. You didn't just show up today because, well, maybe it's the average Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian church. Galatians 5:24 says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Hey, why don't you get off your high horse? Why don't you get off yourself and put your sight and your eyes on Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen? Why don't you put your eyes on the masses of people dying and going to hell? Why don't you put your eyes on people who are struggling and need help and need encouragement? Amen. Romans 12, verse number 3 and 16 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." In verse 16 it says, "Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." I mean, we ought to lower ourselves to where people are at. 3 John verses 9 to 11, we'll read that tonight. Most children are spoiled brats and taught to be selfish today. Amen. They're taught to love themselves. Schools teach them to worship themselves, to be their own God. I walked inside a Baptist church about 2-3 years ago. Honest to God, my wife was sitting there, and the pastor said, "God wants you to love yourself." That's what he said. So-called independent Baptist church, that you ought to love yourself. Well, man, yeah, sure. You go online and go all through these websites, they'll teach you to be selfish. Self-love, man. Too many men and husbands care more about their money and their job and their careers and their sports and their hunting and their fishing, their drugs and their alcohol, their pornography and their gambling. They want to work out for their muscles. They want to be like me, you know. They're more caught up in how lazy they are. They make excuses why they can't do work and why they don't want to come to church, don't read their Bibles, don't pray, don't go soul winning, but they want to have their pleasure and leisure time and vacations and things that they want. They act like a bunch of women. Yeah, they're no self-control. They're jealous. They're envious. They're angry. They're hateful. They're despisers of those that are good. Why don't you volunteer to help with the bus, the church bus or the church van? Why don't you help to volunteer with the maintenance at the church building? Why don't you volunteer to go soul winning? Why don't you get up at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning, get ready to drive the church bus in the morning, then help with the church bus taking boys and girls home without AC? Yeah. Because it's done by selfless people who take time out of their schedules to be a help and a blessing to others. But just sit there and criticize them while the folks they bring get saved and baptized. Just sit there and criticize them while people from broken homes and the projects who have no way of getting to church otherwise learn about Jesus and learn about the Word of God. Just sit there selfishly and criticize what you don't like. That's what selfish people do. The boys and girls interrupt your worship service. Too many women and wives are too full of themselves. They're moody. They can turn like on a dime, just like that. They're like a roller coaster ride of emotions. You know I'm telling you the truth. They're emotional train wrecks ready for a head-on collision with life and with God because it's not the way they thought their life was going to be. Didn't work out the way they wanted it to be. They refuse to obey God, the Word of God, and their husbands. They refuse to submit to their husbands as God clearly outlines in the Word of God. They've been taught by their parents and their school teachers to be career women instead of keepers at home. They're taught to be busybodies. They stick their nose into other people's business. They're into gossip. They talk about others and criticize others. Hey, I'm talking about selfless or selfish this morning. Which one are you? Amen. Are you going by what the world wants you to be like? Or are you doing what God wants you to be like? They talk about others, they criticize others, what they're wearing or what they're doing and how they're living. They're jealous and envious of others. And men are becoming just like women, to be honest with you. Most women today do not know how to cook home-cooked meals. They buy poison frozen food and microwave dinners to feed their families. They do not know how to set the table. They don't know how to get up and help pick up the plates from the table and wash them when they're over somebody else's house. Even at their own house, they let them stack up in the sink. They just sit there like a selfish, pompous, lazy woman who tries to interact with the men instead of serving others. They're not hospitable. They do not know how to greet and feed strangers and friends and family when others come to their home. They're indignant when someone comes unannounced. The reason they get upset is because they're selfish and they're not prepared to entertain strangers unawares. They would rather watch religious videos on YouTube and other online social media outlets than learn how to be a selfless woman who knows how to garden, how to cook, how to wash, how to clean, how to sew, how to darn socks and iron and feed and clothe their families and hem the skirts and the pants. Of course, that's too dowdy today. That's too homey today. That's too much of a servant today. That's too much of serving others. It's too little of self-glorification. It's too little of vanity. It's too little of attention-seeking and attention-grabbing. It's too little. I don't know why people don't come back to church. Do you know why? When you live in a selfish attitude all week long, all year long, you don't read your Bible. Then you come to an old-fashioned home right now, and you know what? You're just found out that you're just a selfish, lazy, a glutton. Don't want to do anything for him. What are you doing for God this week? God got you up. God gave you breath. God let you live on his green earth. You haven't done zippo for God this week. We're a bunch of selfish ingrates. You'll be able to hear it because I was yelling when I was 5 feet away from the mic. Amen. If it ever gets recorded, if it ever gets online. But blessed be God, people do come. Amen. And blessed be God, people do get baptized. Amen. Saved and baptized. Once you decide to change from being selfish to selfless, well, haven't you taken the world's advice long enough? Haven't you realized you've been cursed by God Almighty because you've obeyed the world instead of God? It's too little of a victimhood complex we have in this country. Why don't you go home and watch videos of how to clean your house and how to cook and how to wash and how to sew and how to darn socks, how to use a sewing machine, how to thread a needle and how to put buttons on and hem a skirt or hem pants. Why don't you go home and watch a video of how to plant vegetables by seed in the house during the wintertime and then plant them outside in the spring in the garden, learn how to weed a garden and stop throwing out good nutritional food in the garbage and make yourself a compost pile for your garden. Most women do not know how to wash the dishes by hand anymore. Just push the buttons. Put them in the dishwasher and push the buttons. Most women don't know how to hang clothes outside on a clothesline anymore. Just put them in a clothes dryer and push the button. Most women do not want to get their hands dirty. Why don't you volunteer to work in the nursery and clean the church building? Of course, it's too beneath most men and women today. I don't want men in the obviously in the nursery, but women don't want to get... It's too beneath women today because you're not on show. We would rather sing in a choir or sing a special because then people get to see you and will get recognized. But bring on that lipstick and the makeup and the rouge and fix your hair because people will want to notice you. People are addicted to their phone and social media today. It's their God. Their life is on their phone. They're worshiping their phone. It's their life. It's themselves. Do you ever see when people can't find their phone? They're having a heart attack mode. Where's my phone? I can't find my phone. Where's my phone? Of course, you never said that about God. You never said it about your Bible. Philippians 1:12, Paul writes, "But you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Amen. Let me repeat that verse. "The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Amen. The first thing people think about when something happens to themselves, whether it's bad news, an accident, "Oh, I was in this car wreck. I got a bad report from a doctor. I went to go to a hospital, a funeral, court, work, job, neighbors." Well, God puts you in all these situations so you can witness to somebody. That's what Philippians 1:12 said. But we're so stinking selfish, it's all about you. You don't care if the doctor gets saved. You don't care if the nurse gets a gospel tract. You don't care if the taxi driver hears the gospel. Hey, the police officer pulled you over, not for a ticket, but to hear the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. But of course, we're so stinking selfish, we don't even think that way. You have to go to a hospital because you have to give the gospel or a gospel tract to the clerk behind that computer terminal. You go shopping to feed your belly instead of giving a gospel tract for the clerk who's checking you out. You get mad at the telemarketers. Blessed be God, I love telemarketers because I give them the gospel, amen. You don't want them calling your home. Man, God has them call your home so you can witness to them, but you're so stinking selfish, you want to be on no call list because you don't want to be bothered. God gives you people in your life, lining them up one by one. But we're so stinking selfish, we don't want to be bothering.
Neighbors, you're living where you're living because people need to get saved. You're working where you're working because people need to hear the gospel. You need to go to court. You need to go to a funeral. You need to go to a hospital. You need to go to see that doctor because they need to be saved, ladies and gentlemen. When you meet a government official, when you go shopping, when you're paying your bills by mail, why can't you put a gospel track in there? Some secretary's going to open that envelope. She's going through a tough time, separation, divorce, thinking about suicide, foreclosure, bankruptcy. You don't know who's going to open that letter. You think you're paying a bill. That's a selfish attitude to have. God's people today, by and large, 90 to 95% are a bunch of lazy, no good for nothing bums for God. Don't do anything. Don't give anything in the offering basket. Don't go sowing. Don't come to church. Why should I come to church? Well, how about this? Think about this. To encourage somebody else.
Amen.
Even if you heard everything I've ever preached about, how about a visitor who came for the very first time who needs encouragement?
Amen.
Needs to get saved. Needs to hear the gospel.
Amen.
But if it's all about you, stay home under the covers and watch your idiot box. Go home and get high and get drunk and kill somebody or kill yourself because it's all about you. The selfish always say, don't you care what I'm going through right now? Don't you understand what's happened to me? Don't you want to help me? Why are you being so cold towards me? Why don't I want you to help? Why don't you want to help me? Do you know how difficult this has been for me? The selfish play on the emotions of other weak-minded people who do not love God and who do not obey the word of God. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time to stop sucking your thumb and get out of your diapers and stop being fed by the bottle and face life the right way, the way God wants you to face life.
Amen.
Stop being selfish. Stop being selfish and start being selfless.
Amen.
Hey, husband, why don't you think about your wife? And wife, why don't you think about your husband? Huh? Not too many people want to admit they're selfish today. Point number one. People who refuse to get saved and reject Jesus Christ are selfish. Because Jesus said in John chapter number 3, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Reason people don't get saved? Selfish reasons. They want to live their own life, enjoy their sin, the pleasures of sin for a while. They love their sin. They would rather be cast into hell in the lake of fire for all eternity than to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. Why? Because they love their sin. They love themselves. They wanted the pleasures of sin for a season. They would rather believe a lie because they think it's a cloak for their sin instead of trusting Jesus Christ who loves them. And who died for them, and who took their place on the cross to pay for their sins, and who wants to bless them. Well, the reason they reject them is because they're very selfish. It's like spitting in God's face or trotting underfoot the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed for the payment of their own sins. Number two, Jesus said, turn the other cheek when others hate you and lie about you and make your life miserable. He said in Matthew chapter number 5, you have heard that it hath been said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I think Jesus wants us to be selfless, not selfish. Paul writes in Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Some of you want to play God. You want to act like God. That's a selfish attitude. You think you're in charge. You think you're in control.
People are going to purposely make your life difficult if you decide to love Jesus Christ, the Word of God. There are going to be consequences to you obeying the Word of God and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
John was exiled to the island of Patmos for that very same reason, ladies and gentlemen. Do not be selfish and hurt. Think how shallow and empty they must be to purposely do that to you, to look down on you with scorn and hatred. Selfish people retaliate. Christians do not retaliate.
Amen.
Christians pray and love their enemies. They pray for and they love their enemies. They do good to them that despitefully use them. Christians are supposed to be kind and merciful and patient. Selfish people care about themselves and their feelings and their emotions and their experiences and their life. That's why they put their whole life on Facebook. Those who hate you for being a Christian are selfish because you represent God to them. You are an ambassador from heaven, and you represent the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to you, to them, that you represent the enemy. Sometimes it's an old friend that you had before you got saved. Someone you used to hang around with. Sometimes it's a coworker. Sometimes it's a neighbor. Sometimes it's a relative, a family member, a parent, a child, a sibling, someone that you were close to growing up. Sometimes it's a church member, a pastor, an elder, a deacon, Sunday school teacher, an usher, a church worker, the treasurer, some other official who holds a position in the church. They're jealous and envious at you because you want to live for God and they're not, and they feel bad because it's all about them. Their shallowness shows through. Hey, if somebody else can live for God, why can't you? If somebody can live for God, why can't you? Because you're being selfish with your own, with the life that God gave you. And you're going to give an account for the life that God gave you. And you're going to wake up in the judgment seat, and you're going to say, you squandered and wasted the only life that God gave you on yourself. And you have nothing to show for it when you show up in the judgment seat. That's going to be pretty sad. Point number three. I said number one, people who refuse to get saved and reject Jesus Christ are selfish. Point number two, Jesus said, turn the other cheek when the selfish people hate you and make your life miserable. Point number three, the religious Pharisees will hate you. That means the Pope, the Bishop, the Cardinals, the Bluebirds, the Ravens will hate you. Most pastors and so-called theologians and so-called scholars will hate you for daring to believe the very words of the King James Bible. While we're criticizing the perversions that these lost and lukewarm Pharisees use, they hate it. They hate you. They are selfish because they do not want to know the truth. They want the crowds that love them. They don't want to preach against sin. They want the coffers to be full with money so they get paid their salary. And so they can live in a free parsonage and have free health insurance and have free vacations and the church can take care of them. They're not going to chase people away and tell them the truth. That's a selfish pastorate. And so today, people call our churches legalist. You've heard people say that. You've heard people say, we're a legalist church. Legalism is clearly defined in the book of Galatians. Legalism is a person doing something or not doing something to earn salvation. That is all legalism is. Nothing more, nothing less. Selfish people slander and lie about others to make themselves either look better or feel better about themselves, deceiving themselves. Standards are not legalism. Just because someone has higher standards than you do does not mean that they are legalists. For 31 plus years, I have never said that you have to do something or not do something in order to go to heaven. Any person or church that teaches that you have to do something to go to heaven is a legalist. Any person that teaches that you have to stop doing something to be saved is a legalist. Like the Catholics, the Orthodox, the Protestants, the Jehovah's False Witnesses, the morons, and any other cult that teaches you have to be good enough or not bad enough to go to heaven. Even evangelical and Baptist churches are teaching the heresy of a works repentance. They say if you're really saved, You wouldn't be doing those kinds of things. If you're really saved, then you would obey these kinds of things. So the same crowd that criticizes this church and this preaching for teaching and preaching the gospel of grace are the exact same ones who are teaching the heresy of legalism to their own people and perverting and twisting the gospel of grace.
Because the love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6:10 says. When women came to churches in dresses and skirts for the past 1,900 years, that was not legalism. When women came to churches with head coverings on their head for 1,900 years, that was not legalism. When women came to church without any makeup or lipstick for 1,900 years, that was not legalism. When women were silent in the churches for 1,900 years, that was not legalism. When men came to church with a shirt and tie, that was not legalism. When men came to church with long trousers, that was not legalism. When men came to church with short hair and a haircut, that was not legalism. When people did not come to church with flip-flops, that was not legalism. When people did not come to church with shorts, that was not legalism. When people did not come to church with torn jeans as a fad, that was not legalism. When children were disciplined and spanked for misbehaving and disobedience, that was not legalism. When children were taught to mind and obey and respect their parents and authority, that was not legalism. When a store puts a sign up and says, no bare feet allowed in this store, that is not legalism. That's standards. Hey, go to the county jail right now and see the sign that's posted before you go to visit somebody and look at the standards that they have, and it's better than the standards that the average Baptist church has. I got a picture of it if you want to see it on my cell phone after church is over. If you want to see the standards that the Rensselaer County Jail has before you're allowed to go inside and visit somebody. But you get mad at the preacher for preaching the Word of God. I don't mind when selfish people get mad at me. When a store puts up a sign and says, no bare feet allowed in this store, that is not legalism, that's standards. When a store says no one is allowed without a shirt on, that's not legalism, that's standards. When a store puts a sign in their bathroom that employees must wash their hands, that's not legalism, that's standards. When a judge or a court tells you to stop chewing gum in the courtroom, like you ought to stop chewing gum in church, that's not legalism. It's standards. We're just used to chewing gum like a cow because no one has ever told you it's not proper to do it. When a judge or a court tells you to stand up if you're able to, that's not legalism. When you stand for the national anthem while it's played, that's not legalism. I'm talking about Dixie. Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixieland, where I wasn't born in early on a frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away. It's not legalism when you stand for a national anthem. It's not legalism when you take your hat off and put it over your heart and stand at attention for the playing of the national anthem. That's not legalism. When a man opens the door for his wife, that's not legalism. Should a pastor let a woman come to church in a bikini? Why not? I'm talking about selfish people this morning. You listen to me good. We've locked the doors. You can't get out right now, okay? Amen. I'm almost done. I got an hour and a half to go, okay?
Amen.
Should a pastor let a woman come to church in a bikini? Why not? If she's allowed on the beach that way, then why shouldn't she be allowed in church? Should a pastor allow a woman in a bikini to sing a special? Well, why not? It's not legalism. It's called standards. That has nothing to do with salvation. Should a pastor conduct a fundraiser to sell cookies or wash car with women in bikinis? Why not? That's not legalism. Those are standards. Of course, if that doesn't bother you, then I don't want that kind of a man in my church. So when Pastor A has higher standards than Pastor B, then Pastor B criticizes Pastor A and calls him a legalist. No, Pastor A just has higher standards than Pastor B. Wearing a bikini doesn't get you to heaven or hell. Get you to heaven or hell. Receiving Jesus Christ or rejecting Jesus Christ determines whether you go to heaven or hell. But these same pastors who criticize us for our preaching, they would never have a woman stand up here in a bikini sing a special. Why not? Why not? They're a bunch of fake, phony, fraud liars that are more interested in your money than the truth of the Word of God. I wouldn't want a woman up here singing in a bikini either. I'm just saying. Why wouldn't they have it? Because they have standards too. But their standards are a little lower, obviously, or a lot lower. But they want to criticize somebody who has higher standards. That's why they criticize the Mennonites or the Amish. The pacifist hates God. They hate the Word of God. They love themselves. They love their dogs and love cats and trees and grass and mosquitoes and wasps and eagles' nests and elephants and polar bears. But it's okay to kill your defenseless baby in the womb. It's a selfish thing that they're doing. Killing a baby because of their sin. Killing a human being, a child who's about to be born, the most defenseless thing. They're killing a baby because of a selfish act. But they're more interested in polar bears and eagles and elephants. They want to be able to enjoy the pleasures of their sin without the consequences of a child being born, without anyone anywhere somehow preaching against their sin and evil and wickedness. Jesus said, "He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." That's why the pacifists hate Jesus. Somebody said Jesus was a socialist. You haven't read your Bible, man, if you believe that. People who do not go to church are selfish. Let me repeat that. People who do not go to church are selfish. Now, if you got to work, I understand. If you're sick, I understand. I do. If you're traveling somewhere, I do understand. The reason you don't come to church, listen to me good, is because we're selfish. Yeah. So, in fact, why don't you go to breakfast during Sunday school or the adult Bible study and fill your belly with food? Don't come for the adult Bible study or Sunday school or Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Go to movies instead. Go to picnics instead. Go to your family gatherings instead. Go on vacation instead and do not go to church while you're on vacation. Work when the church doors are open and then sleep in and lay down and watch the television set when you could be working during the week so that you do not have to work while church is on. But selfish people don't want to hear preaching against people who are selfish. Don't tithe. Tithing is 10%. Why don't you keep God's money in your pocket to pay for your pleasures and your sins and your vanity instead of supporting independent fundamental Baptist missionaries around the world trying to get people saved and baptized? Why don't you keep your money, God's money, in your pocket instead of supporting the church to pay its bills, to keep the lights on, to keep up with the maintenance, to help with the repairs, to keep the bus and the van running, to order gospel tracts, and all the necessary bills for this lighthouse to keep shining for Jesus Christ in this neighborhood and around this area? But you take God's money and buy cigarettes and alcohol and gambling, buy lottery tickets and pot and weed and dope and cocaine and heroin and all kinds of drugs. You rob God, then with the money you rob God with, you buy all kinds of steaks and meats to fill your belly. You buy a new television set. You buy a new AC unit. You buy a nicer car. You rent a nicer place. You buy a house. You spend money on fancy vacations. You buy fancy designer clothes and shoes and sneakers and video games, Game Boys and computers and cell phones, laptops and desktops and smartphones. You want to be selfish? Don't come to church. Point number one. You want to be selfish? Point number two, don't tithe. You want to be selfish? Point number three, don't go soul winning. Let people die and go to hell because you're too lazy, too indifferent, too nonchalant, too uncaring, too cold-hearted, too busy with vain things, too busy with work, and too busy with the baby, and too busy with your family, too busy with politics, too busy with church work, too busy with hunting and fishing, too busy being on vacation, too busy camping, too busy playing cards, and too busy going on to the casinos, too busy gambling, too busy, too busy, too busy. Too busy to fellowship. I'm saying you're too busy fellowshipping. You're too busy being online late at night, and then you can't get up in the morning to go soul winning. Stay up late at night watching television and YouTube and online. You can't come to church on Sunday morning. Running around all over God's creation, spending time unwisely instead of using your time wisely for God. When's the last time you stood on a corner and just handed out gospel tracts?
You got time. Don't tell me you don't got time. When's the last time you took an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and stood in a corner and just handed out gospel tracts?
Well, somebody might see you, selfish one.
Somebody might recognize you, selfish one. I'm concerned about people dying and going to hell.
Are you?
Do you love Jesus Christ or you love yourself? Is it all about you? Is it about Jesus and others?
I see the morons walking all over in Troy. I see the Jehovah's false witnesses walking around. I don't see too many of us walking around. General Booth, William Booth, was the founder of the Salvation Army. They're no longer preaching, teaching salvation, and they're no longer an army. But William Booth used to have his orchestra out in the street. And they're out in the street singing, preaching with the choir, with the band, out in the street corner, getting the gospel out. And they always had their convention. William Booth had a convention for a Salvation Army every year. And I think it was the last year of his life. He couldn't make it. He was very ill, very sick. He couldn't make it. And they were sort of discouraged because the founder of their organization couldn't be there. But he sent a message to be read from the pulpit. Amen. They took the message. The guy came to the podium, to the pulpit. He opened the message, and this is what William Booth said. Others. Close the message and put it away. Amen. What made Salvation Army great? They thought about others. You know how God will make you great, and God will use you, and God will bless you? You put your eyes on others instead of yourself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But you're thinking about yourself first, and that's why you're going to come in dead last. Why don't you decide to be selfless instead of selfish? And I'm telling you, I promise you, based on the authority of the Word of God, God will bless you in ways you've never dreamed about. Stop taking advice from people who hate God and start obeying God to the best of your ability. And live your life for Jesus, others, and yourself dead last. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being such a wonderful God. Thank you for church. Thank you for these dear folks. They could have gone anywhere else today. They chose to be here this morning. They decided on purpose to be here. I pray that you bless them for their faithfulness. Lord, I know folks are here are struggling. They got heartaches and they got burdens like everybody else. And too often it is too easy to be sucked into the world's philosophy about thinking about ourselves first instead of thinking how we can use whatever's come into our life for the glory of God, how somebody else can be encouraged, strengthened, and saved through what we're going through, whether it's a trial, a heartache, or a burden. Dear God, help us to focus on Jesus and others, not ourselves. Bless, I pray, this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.